gathered in this evening. We're turning to God's Word to read some verses from the Psalm 116. Psalm 116. It's good to hear singing about the cross and about the satisfaction that is found in Christ and in his cross work, that satisfaction that is found in him alone. We trust that those in the meeting tonight who are yet unsaved, that you might know what it is to enjoy and experience that salvation that is found in Christ and that satisfaction that is found in Christ alone. The Psalm 116, we'll read it verse 1. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications, because he hath inclined his ear unto me. Therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our God is merciful. Amen. We'll end our reading there at the end of that verse 5. We'll look to the Lord again, just in a wee word of prayer. Our God and our Father, we thank thee for all that has gone on in the meeting tonight. For the message and song, we thank thee, Lord, tonight for bringing us to the cross. And we thank thee, Lord, for showing to us Christ as the only one who can save and the only one who can satisfy the longing soul. Pray that thou would bless these messages to our hearts. Now we come, Lord, to consider what thou hast done for us. And we pray that in the word of testimony, Lord, that thou would be pleased to have us to say those things that bring glory to thee and glory to thee alone. Answer prayer and be my helper, Lord, for I ask it all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Let me just say this at the very beginning. I want just to make it abundantly clear that the only reason that I'm here tonight to give my testimony is the mercy and the grace of God. And as I look back over my lives, over those days, those early days before I came to Christ, I can trace the mercy of God in his gracious providential workings in my life and in the lives of many others around me who had an influence upon me, all working like links in a chain that brought me to the Lord Jesus Christ in saving grace. So that apart from the grace of God, I am nothing but a vile, weak, unworthy sinner that God in his mercy has saved. I was born into a good and into a godly family. Both my parents were saved. I was born into a home outside Newry, about 3 miles or so outside of Newry on the back road that would finally take you down to Warren Point or across to Ballyholen. Born near the townland of the Commons. But I only lived there for a few years, probably about 3 years. And then, as a family, we moved into new houses that were being built in Rooney's Meadow, down in Newry. So I really don't remember anything about our home in Ballinacraig, although I know where the house is. But I don't remember really anything about those early days. I have got a vague remembrance of moving down into Newry with the family at that time. But I remember certainly being brought up then in Derrybeg Drive in Rooney's Meadow there in Newry. My father and mother were both saved. I have to say tonight, I've said it often, I suppose I will keep on saying it, that my father was a very godly man. My father was the godliest man that I have ever met in my life. And that's living with him as a child and as a teenager, seeing his life, seeing the way he lived. He was a man that loved the Lord. He loved the work of God. He loved the people of God. He liked to serve the Lord. He loved the word of God, the preaching of the word. And he was a godly man. And I look back to the privilege that was mine and being brought up in such a family. I have to say of my mother that she was his equal in all of these things, although she was not involved in the active service of the Lord as my father would have been in the Salvation Army. Yet my mother was his equal in so many ways. They were both at one when it came to bringing up the family. So that if we asked my mother if I could do something or go somewhere, and she said no, well, that was the end of the story. There was no point in harping on about it. To harp on about it might have been rewarded with a clip around the ear, but there was no point in waiting till my father came home from work to ask my father, could I go there or do whatever it was I wanted to do. I got the same answer from him as I would get from my mother. They were both at one when it came to the bringing up of the family. We were well brought up, well schooled, and schooled in the things of the Lord. We were sent along to Sunday school. Every Sunday we attended the Downshire Road Presbyterian Church Sunday School. Although, again, I say my father belonged to the Salvation Army, but he wanted us as children to go to the Sunday school to learn the shorter catechism, because he regarded the shorter catechism as an excellent summary of the doctrine that is contained in the Word of God, and so it is. And so he sent us along to the Sunday school so that we would learn the catechism and other matters related to the things of God. We were taught diligently the catechism and our lessons for the Sunday school. The Sunday school exam came round once a year, and as children we were sent along to take part in the Sunday school exam. Looking back, I think we were expected on every occasion to get 100%. Looking back, I think I can say that we did always get 100%, and that is because of the manner in which my father and mother taught us the catechism, the Bible stories, the hymn that we were to learn for these matters. And so we were well schooled in the things of God. Going to the Sunday school in the morning in the Presbyterian Church. In the afternoon, we would go to the Salvation Army Sunday school. It was called the Juniors. And we would go there. I have happy memories of those days at that Sunday school. Also, my auntie took part in it, and another lady led the meetings there. And I remember on one occasion being at the meeting, singing choruses, and my auntie asked for a favourite chorus. Now, I was very young, but there was no doubt a song, a children's song on the radio in those days, and it was called The Little White Duck. And I remember putting up my hand and my auntie Evelyn saying, "What is it?" And I said, "The Little White Duck." And everybody laughed, all the children laughed, because that wasn't a chorus, of course. But the other lady that was there, Nanella Weir, you call her, Nanella, she looked around her and she said, "We'll sing it anyway." And in order, I think, to take the embarrassment off me, we sung The Little White Duck. And I remember those days very, very well. But we were well schooled in the things of God, went to the Salvation Army at night to the meeting there, heard some good preachers in those days. There were many good preachers who attended the Salvation Army meetings. I'm not recommending that you go to the Salvation Army now. Things have absolutely changed. But I'm talking about those early days, 60 years ago and more. A man used to come and preach, a man by the name of William Henning from Refreeland. He used to sing in days gone by at the Easter Convention. But William used to come along and he would preach, and he was a great preacher of the Word of God. Another man by the name of Captain Samuel Ennis was a great preacher of the Word. And I remember those days, all days of being sitting under the gospel. It was a joy for me to go to meetings. I hear young people now saying, "I don't go to meetings," and people now that have grown up and say, "I don't go to meetings now. When I was young, I had to go here, go to Sunday school, go to church, I had to go this, go there." And they said, we were bored and I don't go any longer. Well, I don't know what's wrong with them. I never got bored, even though I was unsaved. I never got bored. I enjoyed the preaching of the Word of God. I enjoyed hearing men and women telling of their work for the Lord. So this is the way that I was brought up. In a happy, secure home where my parents both sacrificed for us. They went without themselves, I have to say that. In those days, there wouldn't been a lot of money to throw about. My father worked extremely hard. And they sacrificed, I know that, went without themselves in order that we would have sufficient and more than sufficient. And of course, they taught us the things of God. But with all of this, with these great privileges, I was not saved. And I couldn't say with the psalmist as we read together tonight, I could not say I loved the Lord. I did not love the Lord. When I was about 12 years of age, I joined the Commons Band. Now, that was a thing to do in our home for the boys to do, but the Commons Band, it was really a family band in many ways. My brother was in it, and then my younger brother joined it after me. I had uncles in the band, I had cousins in the band, and that is where I made my friends, and the fellows that I run around with, they were from the Commons Band, and that is where we made our friends. There's four of us run around together most of the time. But it was in the band that I learned many things. It was in the band that I learned discipline and I learned responsibility. Although I was young, I learned that I had a responsibility in the band to others, a responsibility to attend all of the practices, to attend all of the parades, because there were others who were depending on me and depending on everyone to be at the practices, depending on everyone to be at the parades. And I learned that because I was in the band, I had this responsibility towards others. And that was a good lesson for life to learn. I learned discipline, that it wasn't what I wanted to do, but it was what the bandmaster wanted us to do. And so I learned to discipline myself in order that I might make the best of the band that I could possibly do as far as my input into the band was concerned. I liked the band, I liked the company, I liked the parades. We often had church parades. The fellows that I run around with in the band, they were good fellows, still a good friendship today with those men. We didn't drink, there was no drinking, there was no smoking, there was no gambling. It was, to some degree, we might say, as clean living as it's possible for sinners to be. But yet for all of that, and for all of the privileges from home, and the privileges of being in the band, I wasn't saved. I did not love the Lord. It was through the band that I met Marion, who of course is now my wife. We were both just 16. Marion was still at school when I met her. Met her through the band one Sunday afternoon after a band parade, a church parade to Antina Fey, and it was then that I met with Marion. I learned right away that her grandfather, father, was a man by the name of Jack White, and he was an old-fashioned Baptist preacher who preached in mission halls and he preached in open airs. But I was so pleased because it was very important to me. The fact that her grandfather was Jack White was very important to me. And I tell you why. My father knew Jack White very well. And they would often attend mission halls together and would often take part in wee meetings together. And I knew that it would please my father if he thought that I was going out with Jack White's granddaughter. And so that was the reason that it pleased me, because it was important for me that I would please my parents in the things that I would do. Now, I wasn't going out with Marion that long when she told me that she was saved. Saved a young girl at 11. And she told me that she went to church every Sunday morning and Sunday night, and was quick to tell me that if I wanted to see her on a Sunday night, that I would have to go to church with her. She certainly would not be missing church in order to see me. And that was the stand that she took right away. And so it was the case that very often on a Sunday night, I would go to the Methodist Church in Warm Point with her. There's a minister there by the name of the Reverend Rooney, the Reverend Rooney. And he was a very nice man. He was a real gentleman. His wife was called Mrs. Molly, she was called Molly, Rooney, and of course, they were lovely people. They'd been missionaries, and I was very fond of them. He was a bit like myself. Now he would forget the announcements, and he would look down and he would say, Molly, did I miss something there? And she would shout up, yes, dear, and she would tell him what he missed, and he would announce it again. I was very fond of them. But I don't know, looking back, if he was a very gospel preacher. I don't know that he preached with great fire, but he was a gentleman, and I was very fond of him. And so I would hear the gospel message in various places. One Sunday afternoon, I remember we were sitting in Marion's house. Her granny and granddad had been staying there just for a little while. And I remember her granddad coming out of his bedroom, and he said, I've something to show you. And this had a great influence on me. He had a magnet in his hand, and he had in his other hand, he had matches and pins. And he came over to where I was sitting, and he said, look at this boy. And he held the magnet above his hand. And of course, the pins were attracted to the magnet and rose up and stuck to the magnet. The matches were left in the hollow of his hand. He said, young man, that magnet is like Christ. One day he's coming back again. And he said, do you see those pins there? They're like the people that are saved and ready to meet him. They will rise up to meet him in the air. And he said, those matches are like the people that aren't saved. They are left behind. They will be doomed and damned in hell. And that had a great effect upon me. Don't know much about his theology. Not too sure where he stood on the finer points of the coming again of Christ, but I can tell you what he said to me that day bore witness to my heart. So for all of these things then, brought up in a godly home, running around with good fellows, going to church services, being involved in Marion's family, a good, again, and a godly family, for all of this, I was not saved. I did not love the Lord. During those days, I had a motorbike. Now, that wasn't much good to me because Marion was not allowed onto it. Her father said she was never to get onto the motorbike. And, of course, Marion agreed with that, never got onto the motorbike. And so after a while, I bought an old car to travel around. And when I say an old car, I mean an old car. It was an old A30 car. An old grey car, it was RKA 384. I remember it well. Glad there was no MOT, you wouldn't have got through it, I can tell you. You could see the road through the floor. But it got me around a bit for a while anyway. After a year or two of it, there's a man bought it off me. He put it into his field and he used it as a hen house. So you can imagine what it was like. But nevertheless, it meant instead of walking to church or whatever, we were able to go in the car. When I was 18 years of age, had this old car, knew Marion for quite a length of time then, I came under terrible conviction of sin and a terrible fear of death. It lasted for about 2 weeks. I remember at night before I would get into bed, I would pray, I would say, Lord, don't let me die until the morning. I was afraid of dying without Christ. I would lie in bed wondering if death was near. I didn't know much about anything. I thought I knew a brief bit about things, I suppose. Didn't know much about anything. But I knew from listening to people that when a person died, they went stiff, rigor mortis set in. And I would lie in bed at night, moving my arms and legs to make sure I wasn't dying, to make sure I wasn't going stiff. It's humorous now, looking back at it, but those were terrible days. For a couple of weeks, I was under dreadful conviction of sin. I didn't say to anyone, not even to Marion. I didn't say to my parents. Went to work, come home from work, and tried to go about what I would normally be doing. One Sunday night then, we had been to the Methodist church, Warren Point, after church was over. And then we drove up the road that Marion lives on, and Lordermore Road there, and stopped the car. We were talking. Marion brought round the conversation of salvation. And she said, David, would you not like to be saved? And I did want to be saved. Now, I knew that although I was young, I still knew in my heart that Marion would not have married me because I wasn't saved and she was. But that wasn't what struck me that night in particular. It was the fact that if I died, I would be lost eternally in hell. And I wanted to get saved, and I knew how to get saved, brought up in the gospel, knew all about these things. But that night, Marion again explained to me what I needed to do, acknowledge my sin and ask the Lord to save me. And that night in that old A30 car, as best as I could, I tried to be as reverent as I could before God and tried to kneel on the front seat of the car, and I asked the Lord to save me. A bit like what we read together there tonight. Then called I upon the name of the Lord, O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. And that night I asked the Lord to save me, and he wonderfully and graciously brought me to himself that very night. I got saved. And the burden and the fear was lifted. And home that night, much happier than I had been. I intended telling my mother that night that I'd got saved. That didn't work out. Whenever I got home, my mother is always when would be waiting for me coming in. And my mother, I suppose, spoiled the boys anyway, I have to say, in a particular sense. And when we got in every night, the teapot was on and two buns. And so she would say, David, eat those buns and drink that tea and get yourself to bed. And now, I was never late home, I have to say, but that is what it was. And then Mummy would go on to bed and I'd have my drink of tea, I'd have a supper, and then I would go to bed. I didn't get telling her. And then, but the following night when I got home from work, I told my mother and father what I'd done, that I'd come to the Lord. People, that was the beginning of a life that would fully satisfy me. And how the Lord has so richly blessed and satisfied me in those days that have now gone by. I gained immediately an interest in the Word of God and the study of God's Word. I remember sending away for a Bible correspondence course to Birmingham based on John's Gospel. I remember doing that, and with great joy getting a wee simple certificate at the end of it. I enjoyed the work in the Lord, new interest in the work of the Lord, to serve the Lord, endeavor to do what I could for the Lord, new interest in the people of God, being invited to and joining a wee youth group in Warren Point, where we used to go to meetings and do meetings, and there we had a fellowship together in a man's house. The man opened up his house and his two boys were there, and others of us joined in for that time of study and the time of fellowship together. We would go and do wee meetings around the country, mission halls mostly. And in those days, of course, they would have a singing group group of young people. They would go along to meetings, they would sing. I was never allowed to sing. I suppose the thought of that boy sings it will ruin it all together. And so very graciously they got out of it and they would say, David, will you lead the meeting tonight? And so I would lead the meeting and they did the singing. But it was good preparation, I suppose, for what the Lord had for me in the days to come in the service of the Lord. I joined the Salvation Army and took part in their different activities, going round the public houses, selling the war cry, and especially the open-air meetings. I loved the open-air meetings, and it was in the Salvation Army that I learned to love open-air meetings. And when I was in Portland Owen, in the church there, I loved the open-airs. We would have open-airs in the main street and open-air meetings around the different housing estates, and I enjoyed that. But it was in the Salvation Army that I learned the open-air work and learned to love the open-air. And when we got married, Marion and I joined the Salvation Army. But things were changing then. There was much by way of ecumenical activities, and the Salvation Army were joining up with other organizations that I could not agree with. And so we parted company from the Salvation Army. And after a period of time then, we came into membership in the Free Presbyterian Church down in Kilkeel, in the Mourne Free Presbyterian Church. And it was while I was there that the Lord spoke to me about full-time ministry of the gospel. I responded to that call of the Lord when I was in the church in Kilkeel. Entered into the theological hall in 1974 and spent 4 years there. I was placed during that time in Mullaghlass. It was just a little outreach work from Kilkeel. It was opening up, and they sent me along there to Mullaghlass, and I spent 3.5 years in Mullaghlass. Then when I finished my studies, got a call from Mullaghlass and Portland Owen. I believed it was the will of God for me to go to Portland Owen, and I spent 32.5 years in the ministry in Portland Owen. And I can look back now and I can say, by the grace of God, I love him. I love him because, or as we have it over there in 1 John chapter 4, I love him because he first loved me. And people, here is a love of God that is evidenced. The love of God is evidenced by his atoning work on Calvary, by the price that was paid for our salvation. And as I look back tonight to the cross work of Christ on Calvary, I can say he loved me and he gave himself for me. There's satisfaction here in the cross work of Calvary. The justice of God was satisfied there for me on my behalf. The justice of God declares that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The wages of sin is death. That's the declaration of the justice of God. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. But the Lord Jesus Christ, the eternal, sinless Son of God, became the substitute for sinners. And he bore their sin in his own body on the tree. And there he made that sacrifice of himself in pain and agony, shedding his precious blood so that the debt could be paid for me. And that on that basis, then, I could go free. God is satisfied with Christ's work. And I want to tell you, I am satisfied in Christ, and I'm satisfied by Christ. And I look back over the years, and I think of what the Lord has done for me, what the Lord has done for guilty sinners. And I marvel at the love of God. For God so loved the world, that includes you and me, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but
but have everlasting life.
I wonder if there's one in the meeting tonight and you've come into the meeting but you're not saved. You're a bit like myself. Maybe you look back over the years and you think of many privileges that you've had, but you're not saved. You cannot say tonight, I love the Lord. I want to tell you this clearly and plainly, that God so loved the world of sinners that he gave his own sinless, dear, spotless Son, who throughout the ages of eternity was daily his Father's delight. And God the Father, in love for you and me, he gave his Son. There was no other way of salvation but that a substitute pay the price, and the substitute must be perfect, must be sinless. Where would such a substitute be found? Only in the sinless Son of God. And God the Father gave his Son and sent his Son, the Bible tells us, to be a propitiation for sin, to turn the wrath of God away from us. The work of Christ, that's the love of God. And oh, the love of Christ the Son, because he loved me and he gave himself for me. He gave himself to the agony of Calvary. He gave himself to the mockings of men. He gave himself to the shedding of his blood. He gave himself to die, and to die the wicked, cruel death of crucifixion, and there to endure the separation even from his Father when he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why did he do it? Because of his love for sinners. And that same Christ of God who died for sinners still calls sinners to himself tonight. He would say, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Dear unsaved, he calls you to himself, and he will give rest for your soul. He'll give you peace. He'll give you contentment. He'll save you from your sin, and then bring you home to glory at the end of life's journey. That's what the Savior died to do for sinners like you and me. Would you come to Christ? The Bible says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Will you call on the Lord tonight and find salvation in him? May God be pleased to apply his word by the Spirit of God savingly to your hearts tonight. We're going to close in a wee word of prayer. If it should be that you're unsaved and you feel tonight that you need salvation, you have that desire in your heart to be right with God, to be ready for heaven, don't go home tonight without Christ. You wait behind. Speak to some of the elders or speak to myself. Don't go home without the Savior. We'd love to see you coming to Christ. I would love to see you enjoying the salvation that I have enjoyed for so many years. From a young teenager unto now, what blessings there are for those who trust the Savior. Will you come to Christ and enjoy him even tonight? Our God and our Father, we thank thee for thy mercy to us. We thank thee for thy love and everything that thou hast done for us. But Lord, we pray tonight for those in the meeting that are unsaved. We pray, Lord, that in thy mercy that thou would open their heart. Lord, that in thy mercy and by thy grace, thou would have them to see how they stand before thee. Now, Lord, we pray that tonight that thou would have them to be drawn by the Spirit of God to the Christ of God and enabled to put their trust in him. Lord, answer prayer, we pray. Be with us now as we leave this thine house. Have us to go with and in the blessing of the triune God, for we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.